Hi, I'm Julie Zeglin, the managing editor at Technically, a news site that covers local economies and change. And this is Technically on the Record, our new interview series in which we'll do a deep dive into one of our market's biggest stories of the week. It's a chance for us to look into our reporters' virtual notebooks and hear lessons from the tech communities of Philadelphia, Baltimore, DC, Delaware, and Pittsburgh. And today with me, I have Technically for reporter Paige Gross. Thank you for joining.
Morning, Julie. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So today we are talking about your story on virtual pandemic dating. The title of the story is To Swipe or Not to Swipe, How Philadelphians Are Feeling About Virtual Pandemic Dating. So let's just get right into it. How did you get the inspiration for this story?
Yeah, so I am a 20-something single person in Philadelphia. A lot of my friends are as well. And the general consensus when the pandemic started was just to quit dating, at least for the time being. You know, I thought it was going to be a couple weeks, which is all good and well. You know, I was like game to take a break. But yeah, 4 months later, clearly not just a couple of weeks. And I actually got a notification from one of the dating apps that I'm on that was like, you are so inactive that we're going to stop showing your profile to other people. And I was just like, oh yeah, dating is a thing that still exists. If I want to do it at all in the next year, I'll probably have to experience like the virtual dating thing. And just kind of had started to see more and more people talk about it on social media as we realized like, this is our normal. This is what the dating scene will be like for the next probably several months to a year. So I just decided to post about it on social media, ask if anyone else was, you know, having any sort of feelings about it. And I also am a member of a couple of Slack groups that I posted in just saying I'm looking to talk to people about their experience and deciding whether or not to date right now. It obviously has to be virtual because people aren't out at a bar meeting each other for the first time. So I just kind of posted a message that I was interested in hearing about those experiences. And people were interested in talking to me about it. So yeah, I figured it would make for a good story.
Yeah. And so you have a couple people who are specifically quoted in the story. They share their experiences. You also mentioned that you spoke to people who didn't make it into the story, but still wanted to talk to you. So what were some of the experiences that you heard and what was sort of their consensus or their different experiences?
Yeah. So like you mentioned, there's a couple of people who didn't make it into the story. That happens, you know, pretty often when you report, especially when you're talking about personal things like this, you know, having your name attached to something about online dating can be an intimidating experience. So yeah, there were a couple of people who I didn't use in the story, but kind of the general consensus that I got, which is something that I felt as well, is just that it's a very intimidating time to be dating. It feels very serious, and like to meet up with someone for a socially distant date or a not socially distant date, you know, you can go to a bar or a restaurant and sit outside and get a drink right now. That puts you at some risk, you know, that puts you and whoever you live with at some risk to kind of have another person come join your quarantine bubble. So, you know, I was kind of feeling like someone that I were to do this with would have to kind of check a lot of the boxes or just seem like a really cool person to make me want to do that. And that's what I heard a lot from the sources I talked to as well. Two of the people in the article expressed that, you know, they seem like their standards had kind of risen during this time because of those, you know, life or death kind of situations. Yeah. Maybe it's not that serious, but if you're going to, you know, go to a park, maybe take public transit to meet up with someone and sit 6 feet away from them in a park, they have to be pretty darn cool.
Yeah, we hope it goes well. Yeah, as you mentioned in the article, because dating wasn't challenging enough before the coronavirus.
Yep. Yeah, there were already, you know, a million like things you're thinking when you're on that first date. And now you're also thinking, okay, do they have an elderly parent that I could possibly be exposing? Does their roommate work in a hospital? Or, you know, there's a variety of extra things to think about. And on top of just like, do I like this person? Do they seem to like me? You know, are they interesting? So it's that plus all of the other levels of anxiety that we're just like getting accustomed to in the pandemic.
Totally, totally. And I appreciate too that there's somebody in the story who is in a relationship that was already long distance. And so they're just not seeing each other at all because they live in different states. And the way that they're making it work is essentially having virtual dates, like, you know, just using video to chat and like make dinner together. So I thought that was very creative as a way to stay in touch during pandemic times.
Yeah. It seems like that's probably a mainstay of people in long distance relationships anyway, that source was. But yeah, he said, you know, you have to, instead of just setting up your phone and talking while you go and do things around the house, like, we're going to intentionally plan a romantic way to spend time together. Yeah, and he hasn't seen his partner since like early February. So 5 months in, I'm sure it's extra important to kind of set aside that time.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciated the story because it comes at a time when we are doing so much very serious reporting. And you know, you especially, you've been writing about like the Philadelphia school district going virtual in the fall. You know, across all of our markets, we've been reporting on pandemic response and the recession and things like that. So I appreciate that you wrote a story where you also put yourself into this, where you are sort of a character. You're talking about yourself going on a socially distant date with someone from Hinge.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, I guess I decided to write the story because I had just decided to, I guess, virtually date and go on a date with somebody. And yeah, it was an experience. And I totally understand the sentiments that the sources were sharing, that, you know, that person has to be really cool because there is an extra layer of worry. And, you know, you end up having more serious conversation than you would on probably like a normal first date where you meet for happy hour or something like that, because, you know, we had to sit 6 feet away. One of the first things we said to each other is, are we going to keep our masks on? Is this far enough to take them off? You know, we shared a bottle of wine, but I had to lean super far and then he leaned, and yeah. So yeah, it was awkward because first dates are awkward, but that it was also awkward because we were asking questions like, who are you seeing? And not in the dating way, just literally like, who is in your orbit right now?
Yeah,
it's definitely an experience, and I understand those extra levels of feeling like you want to be super connected to that person because it takes a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Technically Philly reporter Paige Gross, thank you for joining.
Thanks, Julie.
Yeah. And now for the kicker, our quick roundup of tech news from our other Technically markets. In DC, a free training course aims to help unemployed Marylanders gain IT skills. CompTIA and Earn Maryland put together a new course that preps for three skills in demand, which include remote tech support, cloud computing, and cybersecurity. In Baltimore, PCs for People is refurbishing computers to provide tech access in Baltimore. The national organization recently stood up operations in East Baltimore to provide free or low-cost laptops and desktops to local residents. In Delaware, we heard about the story behind Newcastle County's masked vehicles. The county is partnering with local company Carvertize for a public health messaging project, which involves giant masks placed on the front of cars. And in Philly, a Comcast protest for free internet access brought the digital divide debate to the forefront. Outside the telecoms giant Center City HQ, activists conveyed concerns about what virtual learning means to Philadelphians with limited or no internet access and questioned what side of the digital divide Comcast is on. This has been Technically on the Record. I'm Julie Zeglin. Thanks for listening.